Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. The point is this. Says one must give as he decides in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion,
for God loves the cheerful giver,
and God is able to make all grace abound to you,
so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work.
As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor.
His righteousness endures
forever. You supply seed to the sower, and bread for the food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By the approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Please be seated. Like I said, I'm very excited about Thanksgiving and Advent, and God has given me a gift to go and see my family, and I am so excited. I leave out Wednesday, Lord willing, and I'll be gone for about 10 days, but I just want you to know that that is so wonderful to have a holy day, a holiday in which we can get together and have family. That, to me, is the important part. The food is second. The food is second. But to get to see all our family members and also to be able to sit back and say, wow, God, look at the beautiful ways you have blessed us in which you have given us your bounty, and it is just a great way of doing life. Now, not only that, I just want you to know that I have a little pet peeve, and that pet peeve is that when radio station starts listening to Christmas music in September, and they play through September, October, and November, well, I will not listen to any Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. That's my little thing. I feel like I need to do that just for the sake of me, and I'm stubborn that way, and I just love it. But there are just so many things happening for Lent, for Advent. And the one thing I'm going to do is I'll be missing this with you. I would love to be out there Thursday. This Wednesday, this community event that we have is one of the largest things that are happening on Wednesday for Thanksgiving. The police are out there, Air Force, Armed Force personalities out there, and they're out there just distributing these food boxes. And I think up to 1,500 people are receiving the food boxes. And on top of that, no one has to sign up for it. You just stand in line. And it's sometimes people are shameful to sign up, but they're given this beautiful gift of coming and receiving those boxes. I would love to be a part of that. And then missing Advent for the very first time this coming Monday with you is a heartbreaker for me. To me, the first Advent of the year is very special for me. I don't know if you ever listen to the songs. You only can listen or play those Christmas hymns right at that very first Advent. Like, O come, Emmanuel. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. Let all mortal flesh keep silence. Those musical pieces are so beautiful, and I love listening to them, and I love being part of that. And we know that there are a lot of great Christmas songs out there. It's amazing the amount of Christmas music and the amount of focus we have on Christmas, especially the Christmas music that we have out there. So I was wondering if you would like to help me here for a little bit. Share with me one of your most favorite Christmas carol or song? Anybody?
What Child Is This?
Child Is This? Okay, what else?
Hark the Herald
Angels, right? God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Anybody else?
Little
IK? Anybody else? What is it? Silent Night? What is it?
Mary, Did You Know?
Awesome song. Anybody else?
Drummer Boy.
Little Drummer Boy. Oh, Holy Night. Oh, my goodness. There's so many amazing. What else? We will not put that on the tape. Please cut that out. No. There are so many holy Christmas songs. And there's also fun ones. You know that the number one Christmas song in the USA is. Do you know what it is? It's A White Christmas. I Googled it. It's White Christmas. You know, and there's some out there that you never even heard before. And I want you to do this. If you've never heard these songs, has anybody ever heard the song, I Wonder As I Wander? If you've never heard that before, it is such a beautiful song. Or Mary, Did You Know? Okay. Has anybody ever heard the music or the song called One Small Child? Anybody? If you never heard that before, listen to it. It is beautiful. Or Lo, How a Rose is Blooming? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Mahalia Jackson, when she sings that, you have to stay still because her voice and how she connects with that song is amazing. Another one of my favorite songs is Carol of the Bells. And it's done so many different ways. Trans-Siberian Orchestra does it wonderfully, as well as a couple other people, too. And Mary's Boy Child, anybody ever heard that song? Beautiful. That's by Harry Belafonte. Beautiful. Listen to it. Google it. It is such a great song. Well, we also know there are some terrible Christmas songs out there. Awful Christmas songs. I mean, annoying Christmas songs. And one of them is crap. I run over by. oh, goodness. Anytime I even hear the start of this song, I turn off. Last Christmas, I Gave You My Heart by Wham. Bang, off. The other one is the most annoying Christmas song in the UK. Does anybody like to take a guess on that? Paul is close. That is close. There's one even worse than that. The one by Mariah Carey. All I Want for Christmas Is You. That is my personal belief. This is me, my personal opinion. It's so bad. It's so bad. But there's also other songs. Songs that are pretty decadent, pretty sort of hedonistic. Songs that is all about giving me. And one of the songs that I struggle with, because it's basically the condition of the human heart. It's the sinful human heart. And it's the one by, completely lost her name. I should have wrote down. Eartha Kitt. Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree. I'm not going to sing it. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear. Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. And she goes on repeating all these things that she wants. It's a cute song. But it also kind of describes our heart as humans. We are selfish. We are self-centered. We're self-focused. And we are controlling because of our sinful nature. And we want things. We want. Please give me this. Please give me that. Please give me that. And it's all about getting. What can I get? How can I get this? Please give me this. I want it this way. And what we found is that giving is a very hard concept for us as Christians, as people. Even when we give, there's always a string attached. Many times when we give because we want someone to be indebted to us. Okay? I give you something, guess what? You're indebted to me. I do something very special for you. I give you my talent. I give you my gift. Whatever it is, you're indebted to me. And people use that as an opportunity to get something back. Even when you give because you want something in return. Be indebted to someone. I give you because I'm going to do something so I can get something in return. And we always have sort of these strings attached. Now, God is trying in a process of transforming our heart really to appreciate the giving part. And the giving part is an attitude that we're going to learn this morning. The giving part is something that was given to us at the Garden of Eden, an opportunity to do something for God's kingdom. Giving was a blessing to us. It allowed us to be a part of God's great purpose in this world. Understanding giving is really important for us to understand how we can be attached to the kingdom of God. And even in giving, God also says, well, you can give, and I'll put a string attached to it. I mean, that's what Malachi is. If you give 10%, I test me, and I will give back to you. So let's go ahead and look at the passage and see the many ways that we can learn. So last week, I want to finish up last week a little bit because we were talking about a very, very, very important subject. And it's a subject about anxiety and worry. It is a pandemic in this country. Stress is a pandemic in this country. And we find ourselves really struggling with them. In fact, it's ranked number three. United States of America is ranked number three when it comes to stress-related situations, when it comes to anxiety, and when it comes to this thing called GAD, which we found out is a generalized anxious anxiety disorder. And this is where we break. And I hope you remember that board for all of your life. But when you put enough stress on something, it's going to break. And when we carry on stress, we carry on burdens, if we don't find ourselves pulling back from it, we will break. And terrible things happen to us in the midst of all that. So one thing I wanted to go ahead and let you know is that last week's theme was let go, let God, thank God. You know, let go is letting go of my control, letting God is letting God be in control. And thanking God, we found last week, is so important because you could pray your heart out. But if you're not thanking God, all you're doing is feeding into your anxiety. Because when you're in the midst of losing control, when you're in the midst of things going out of control, you pray, 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 but what happens is that prayer actually becomes a burden in your soul. The key, as we learned last week, is that prayer has to be with the attitude of thanksgiving. When we start thanking God and understanding that He is in control, then we have a better understanding of the situation. So thanksgiving is really important. And also, GAD happens many times in people's lives. So much stress, and you get to the point where it just carries on you, beats on you, and you snap. And that's a terrible place for a lot of people. Okay? A bad place. It's a place where people do terrible things to themselves. And the important thing that I want you to know, if you ever find yourself in a very, very stressful situation and you feel on the burden, talk to someone. Get to someone. Allow yourself to sit down and share those burdens with that person. Because you're pulling those things away and allowing that person to be a part of helping you to relieve stress. That's what the family is. That's what the body of Christ is. That's what brothers and sisters are. We come and say, I have this stress. There's no shame to sit there and say, I have so many burdens. Please help me to figure this out. And on top of that, you know, if you find yourself breaking badly, run to the hospital. Run to a psychiatric ward. Do something. Don't sit there and allow for that phenomenal crisis to destroy you. And I know that from personal experience. I know that from personal experience. I remember exactly 1994 what happened with all the stress. I remember the cracking, the breaking, everything. I knew where my heart was, and I was bad, in a bad, bad place. And God rescued me from that. And the beautiful thing, it was a terrible situation in my life. And God had this amazing psychiatric ward that I was able to get there. And I tell you, I know some people may not like this, but medication is from God. Antibiotics is from God. Ibuprofen is from God. All these things from God. And there's ways for us to bring some type of peace in our lives so we can deal with the stress and deal with the issues. Not only was it a terrible time in my life, it was also a great time in my life. Because through all of that, I was able to learn my Father in heaven and His love for me, and was able to use that opportunity for God's grace to grow me and change my heart. So if you find yourself in that situation, run. Go to someone. Don't do this by yourself. It is a terrible situation, and many times people do terrible things themselves. Even if you find yourself so stressed out, do something. Do something. Recreate, Sabbath, but talk to someone. Be a part. And also, if a person does come up to you, you may not have any idea how that person feels, but all they want you to do is to love them, pray with them, support them, listen to them. That gift you give to them is one of the most amazing things you can do for a person who is stressed out. So, just wanted to make sure you know that. There's so many types of resources that are out there, and please don't overlook that. And if you are anxious, again, I'm highlighting this a little bit, is that, you know, the first thing God says, you can't play with it, you're not supposed to do it, do something about it. And what you do is you put it off to the side and start thanking God. And it's one of the best ways that I deal with it, and I've learned from that. So we're going to go now into this part of stewardship. And some people think that there's sort of a popular misunderstanding that the tithe, which is means 10%, is something that's only Old Testament. And the New Testament doesn't really speak to it. Well, I say for those scholars, they're wrong. Because tithing was a natural part of the Jewish custom. That's their livelihood. That's how they grew up. They grew up knowing that they had been given this responsibility and all of those gifts to be able to give to the storehouse, to give to the tabernacle, to give to the temple. That was a part of the air they breathed. It was something that they were doing, and it was something that was carried on into the New Testament as God was bringing this church together. It was just what they did, and they knew the reason behind them for the most part. So we have this amazing, beautiful passage we looked at today, and bring the full tithe into the storehouse. And that storehouse basically is the place where we bring that provides a resource for the people and the community around us. But more than that, that there may be food in my house, therefore put me to the test, put me to the test. And again, there's only one time in Scripture that God says to test me. All the other times, you don't test God. Jesus made it very clear, you don't test God. But God says, this is the one place you can test me. You give me 10%. You be faithful to that. Commit to me, and I will promise you, this is His promise and not Pastor Peter, okay? I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. He says, I'll take care of you. Listen, so that was a part of the mentality. That is a part of the gift. Now, that happened here in Malachi. I want you to know that that's always been a part of God's economy for us. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, it started right there. Right there. God has given humanity all these amazing gifts, the resources, the animals, the food, everything, our spouses, our children. And this is what God said to the people in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to give you a responsibility. I want you to have great purpose. I want you to know that you're part of my great purpose in this world. And that great purpose is for you to do is this. Take care of those things around you. Take care of the trees. Take care of your family. Take care of all those things. I want you to be a part of the work that I have in this world. That gives us great purpose when we know that we're following God's will for this world, and that is to invest into the world by being a good steward of the world. That is a very get-go. That was always been a part of God's economy. So now we go, and as God is establishing Himself and the community, one of the first things that He does, very first things in Leviticus, He says, Give tithe to the Lord, whether of the seed or the land or of the fruit of the trees. It is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So basically, again, just a little background. So he's saying to the Jewish people, his Hebrew people, he said, okay, I'm going to have a special place for you. It's either called a tabernacle or it's called a temple. Okay, eventually a church. And this place is going to be a representation of me. It's symbolic. And in the tabernacle, it was very real because the Ark of the Covenant was there, and that was the real presence of God, as of well that had happened in the temple, but that was no longer there. Now the Jewish people believe that the Torah is the presence of God, a very sacred thing, a very sacred piece in the temple and the synagogue. So it is, and so God says, I am going to choose a certain amount of people. They call the Levites, and their responsibility is to take care of this temple. This representation is a way for making sure that you know that I'm alive, these things are holy, but at the same time, they have the responsibility of making sure that you get his word. And that you help, and they help you to be a part of his presence, to be able to experience that presence, but also be sort of the defender and teachers of that word. Very, very important. So that happened in Leviticus, and that was the charge that was given to the Israel people. And the Levites were the priests and the caretakers of the tabernacle, the temple. So we have all this. God always had this economy. Everything I have and what we have is given from God, and I want you to invest into my kingdom. And the way you invest into my kingdom is to provide the resources to the storehouses. So the whole idea is providing you with a background. So now we go to Corinthians real quick. Like, this is really important. Paul is in the process of reminding the Corinthians about a promise that they gave him, about monies that they were going to use to help the poor and help the cause of bringing the good news. So he's reminding them. And Paul made it very clear, the point is this. You know, anytime someone says the point is this, I mean, basically saying, we're going to wrap everything out, we're going to look at this, and we're going to say, this is the point. Get it. Be very clear about this is the point. Okay? Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, sowing is investing. Now, we know that. If we invest a little bit, we'll have a little in return. If we invest a lot, we'll have a lot in return. Sowing is about investing, about giving back, giving to God, and God uses that to be a part of the kingdom, and there's great yield that comes from that investment. So, then he says, each of you must give as he decided in his heart, which is really, really important here right now, and I'll talk about that, because the heart is the attitude, okay? The heart is the entire mental and moral activity. See, the crazy thing about communication, and I want to share this with you, is that what we're taught, 25% of communication is me using words, the right syntax, the right grammar, the right enunciation of words, that's 25%. The other 75% has to do with nonverbal. Okay? And nonverbal is the way that you express yourself, the way you talk. There's so many times, my mom used to love to talk, okay? And she just loved talking. So I've learned to sit there in front of her and just go like this. Yes, Mom. Yes, Mom. And I'm thinking about something so different. But I knew my mom wanted me to listen. So we can give nonverbal communications to each other. The way that we look at each other, the way that we hold our arms together, the way that we have. There's so many things that you're communicating to me and communicating to the other one. But the crazy thing is that also we can fake our communication. We can actually say, well, I'm so sorry that I did this, and do it in a way that everybody thinks you're sorry, but in the back of your mind going, I was sorry I was caught. I'm going to do better next time. But the thing about the heart, no matter how we want to communicate, God knows exactly what's in our heart. He knows exactly our attitude. He knows everything about our heart. So, he says, when you give, remember, God sees our heart, and when you give, Make it a heart-filled, honest integrity situation, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. A person who is cheerful, and this is a word that's in Greek, it means hilarious, and I'm not even going to go there. Cheerful is a good one. And the idea is that when I have an attitude of cheerfulness, I recognize the goodness of God. I recognize the fact that He's given me everything. I'm thankful for everything. And in that attitude of thanksgiving, which is Thanksgiving, attitude of all of that, then I have this cheerfulness, and I'm actually being invited to invest into the kingdom of God. So here, I'm going to shorten it up. My theme is this. This is the theme. Invest into the kingdom of God with a cheerful and thankful attitude. Invest into the kingdom of God. God, at the very get-go, at the beginning of the Garden of Eden, He invited us to be a part of His kingdom by investing, using our gifts, our talents, so that we feel that we're part of a great purpose. When I invest into the kingdom of God, I know that I'm part of God's great and grand purpose. That is what we're looking for in life. I want to be purposeful. And God says, a part of your purpose is to invest in my kingdom, to recognize that I've given you all, and just take the invite and a challenge to give. So, when I started courting Cynthia back 36 years ago, and courting her, and we sat back and we made a commitment, a pledge. We made a pledge. And the pledge is that we're going to go ahead and give 10% of our income to God. 10%. Plus others, too. And I just want you to know that within that year, our marriage, we got married. Cynthia got pregnant after 4 months of marriage. We started seminary, and I had to pay for the whole thing because I was a person on probation. That's another story. So I had to pay for all that. Now, on top of that, the only income that we had was Cynthia's working for Youth for Christ. Okay? Youth for Christ, and it was about $1,000 a month, $1,200 a month, living in L.A. And on top of that, we had a lawsuit that came up from out of nowhere, from a bogus situation. And all of that, through all of that, and then we had a child. All of that, God poured out His blessings to us. This is my personal experience. Committing 10% of what we had at that time was huge. But I just want you to know that God blesses. And I want you to know there's all kinds of wonderful testimonies here of elders and leaders and people of the church that have done that, and God has just blessed them so many ways and times that they can't even imagine. So what we need is invest into the kingdom of God. That's what God is doing. And then, with a cheerful and thankful heart, and I shared earlier, God knows our heart. He knows our heart. And all God says, consider. Matter of fact, He basically says, it's your responsibility. It's not something we can't even negotiate. He says, I want you to commit and invest into the kingdom of God. He doesn't do it in a way that says, I'm going to hurt you so badly if you don't. No, he says, when you do, I want you to realize that you're going to be able to experience the yield, the fruit from all that investment. I want you to know that when you're giving, you're doing something that's filled with purpose, that has a purpose in mind, that it will yield great dividends. And you could be a part of that. And that is just your gift. That is a gift from me. And test me. I'll take care of you. It's with strings attached. And it's hard to give. But God says, give and do it with a cheerful heart. Do it with a heart of thanksgiving. And I will use it for the kingdom of God, my kingdom. So consider giving this morning. You got the pledges out there. I hope you pass the pledge cards in. If you haven't made a pledge yet, Maybe you've done it reluctantly. Maybe you said, God is speaking to you right now. You know, maybe I should give more. You know, I only gave 1% of my income last year. Maybe I should give 2%. But, you know, that's between you and God. I can't make you do that. Or maybe 3%. If we really believe that God invited us to be part of his kingdom, and he gave us this beautiful gift of investing into this kingdom, I just want you to know that it provides an amazing part of our life that gives us purpose and joy. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, your words are so sweet. Your challenges are amazing. And Father, as we heard from the prayer of confession, is that we take so much for granted of all the things you've given us. And Father, we know that we have a getting heart. But also, God, you are so graceful and gracious and loving that you provide us a way to be a part of your kingdom. In a way that just allows for your presence, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, to be brought out into the world. Help us, God. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear and give from the heart. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.